to feel loved and to feel cared for, and like she says, to be tender towards others and to be in that place that feels like trust. We also have this longing to be absolutely authentic, to be absolutely real. And that reminds me of the story of the Velveteen Rabbit that I'm going to share a piece of with you. Marjorie Williams' children's story, The Velveteen Rabbit, tells the story of a stuffed toy rabbit given to a young boy as a Christmas present. The Velveteen Rabbit lives in the nursery with all the other toys, waiting for the day when the boy will choose him as a playmate. In time, the shy rabbit befriends the tattered skin horse, the wisest resident of the nursery, who reveals the goal of all nursery toys: to be made real through the love of one human. One night, we get to overhear their conversation. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, as they were laying side by side near the nursery fender, just before Nana came in to tidy up the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside of you? Or have a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you're made," said Skin Horse. "It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time. Not just play with, but really love. That's when you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked Rabbit. "Sometimes," said Skin Horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, though, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said Skin Horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or who have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off, your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and get very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand." That's what we're longing for, is to be real like that, until all of our hair's rubbed off and we're loose in the joints. And so it's interesting, because it's as if we have this built-in GPS, this God-positioning satellite or system that actually forces us and leads us and causes us to be in relationships. It leads us into relationships with other people by divine design. Because it's when we are in those loving relationships, when we are real, that we actually get to discover who we are. We get to discover aspects of ourselves that we would never get to discover if we weren't in those relationships. We get to discover who we are and then give birth to that greater self that we discover. It is in those relationships we feel safe enough to explore aspects of our personality, things that are within us that we otherwise wouldn't get to explore. We get to try on new behaviors. We get to stretch in ways we might not stretch otherwise. Just think about it. If you're in a primary relationship, do you do things that are like totally goofy that you would never do with anybody else? Make up songs and sing and dance around and act goofy that you'd be embarrassed to do in front of someone else? I know I do that stuff all the time. Do you, in those intimate relationships, learn ways of communicating and being vulnerable that you might not other do? Ways to be honest in your communication because that relationship is safe. Have you perhaps had the opportunity or realized that you could try on a new career or go back to school because you had the support, the emotional support, and having someone believe in you that comes from being in relationship with someone, whether it's a mate or a friend or a sister or a cousin that you feel really close with? Or how about being in that relationship? Did you get to learn how to play? And so the title of my talk today is Party of Two. And I'm talking about the fact that relationships are absolutely on purpose in our lives. They are on purpose because they are the thing that causes us to grow the most. They enable us to be more. To be more than we would be without them. They enable us to discover aspects of ourselves and create a better self and therefore a better life. I'm talking about relationships and how to be in them in a way that enables us to thrive. And how to be in them in a way that enables the person that we are in relationship with to grow and to stretch and to thrive. And so we begin with the premise that life is for our unfolding. That life is for our expansion and our unfolding and our self-discovery. Well, you know what? Relationships are for our self-discovery and our unfolding and our stretching and our growing also, just like life is. And so we are here. And the people that we are in relationship with are here to discover and give way to our spiritual magnificence. Relationships help us discover that. And there are a bunch of mistakes that we make when we get into relationships. Yeah. And one of those, especially when it comes to romantic relationships, one of those mistakes we make is we think the other person is going to complete us. But you know what? Two halves do not make a whole when it comes to relationships. You have to have two whole people that come to the relationship and together create something that is better and bigger than each of them individually. We make the mistake of thinking that another person will save us. But you know what? Another person can never save you. Only you can save you. And that comes from your willingness to grow and from your connection with the Infinite One and doing that self-discovery. We make the mistake of thinking that one person can meet all of our needs for connection and intimacy and belonging and happiness and well-being. No one person can ever meet all of those needs. They're not meant to meet all of those needs. And the last one is that sometimes we think that one relationship is the only place that it's safe to grow and to stretch. One person can't do all of those things. And so in this book that the class is based on, that we're doing spiritual fitness, she gives us the idea that we can have many soulmates. And I love that idea. That means a soulmate can be your sister or your best friend or your cousin or the person that you're in a relationship with or the people that you've had in relationships in the past. We can have multiple and do have many soulmates on this spiritual journey. And so a soulmate is someone that we have a deep connection with. It's someone that we share a sacred union with, a union that's based on love and respect. It's someone whose love for us is of a higher purpose, one that supports us in our unfolding. And so Carolyn Reynolds speaks to this, and she says, your soulmate is the one who has dedicated their love for you to the highest purpose. This means that they have come into your life to help you learn your most important lessons. Lessons and to give your soul the greatest opportunity for growth. Our soulmates support that growth and support us in our expansion. And so what that also means then is that soulmates are not necessarily forever. That soulmates may be in our life for a period of time to serve a particular purpose. And so Colleen, my partner, is absolutely a soulmate. My best friend Tracy is absolutely a soulmate. And some of you may know my girlfriend that I had when I was in my late 20s and early 30s, Bryn, was absolutely a soulmate. Those people support me in my self-exploration and in bringing parts of myself forward that I never would do without them. And so what Carolyn Reynolds says in this book is that every partner that we have can be the perfect partner if we discover the real gift that they are giving us. And if we discover what we are to get from the relationship, that all of them can be perfect partners. And so that means that when we are in relationship with a soulmate, that it isn't necessarily smooth or easy. It can be difficult and it can be painful. Just ask Ray back there laughing. Because what happens in those relationships is they push our buttons. Did you ever notice that? But having our buttons pushed and being in that safe relationship when they're pushed is a perfect catalyst for our growth. It's the place where we get to heal old ideas and self-images and concepts that don't serve us in our well-being, that don't serve us in living our greatest life. Those things like abandonment issues, or those things like jealousies, or those things like feeling like we're not enough, or our insecurities, our buttons get pushed so we can heal them. Soulmates don't allow us to stay small. They're there for our growth. And so one of the things that we did in class this week was to do an exercise where you listed five qualities that you really admire in someone that you're in relationship with. So it could be a mate if you're in a partner relationship, or it could be a best friend, someone just that you're really close to. So we were to write down five qualities that we admire in them, and then to write how we can embody those same qualities. And then we were to write down five qualities that we do not like in them. And then to look at how those mirror something that we already own. Something that we do, a way that we behave, a way that we act, especially that shadow that we don't like to own, that we don't like to look at, that it really is a part of us. That person does the thing that irritates us, but it's because it lives in us. And that isn't always 100% true. And I really like that she spoke to that. If we don't own it, what it means is that we have a fear attached to that thing. And so we had to look at that and what is a fear that we are projecting onto that thing that our partner or our friend is doing. And so I did that exercise. I'm playing along in the class with them. One of the things that Colleen does that freaks me out is when she runs late. And she already knows that I'm telling the story, so I'm not throwing her under the bus here. Is when she runs late and makes us late getting somewhere. I get totally stressed out. I get so mad. And oftentimes by the time we arrive where we're going, I'm so angry I don't even want to talk to her. And so I had to ask myself, what is a fear that is attached to this? Well, you know what's underneath that? There's a fear that if we show up late, those friends of mine might not want to do things with me anymore. There's a fear that maybe they're going to think that I disrespect them. There's a fear that's underneath all of that that says, maybe they're not going to like me anymore. Those are old stories and old ideas that I got a long time ago, and they're mine to heal. And if I don't shine a light on them, like by asking what's the fear that's attached to this, by getting my button pushed, I'll never heal them. And so that idea of not being enough or being responsible for someone else's behavior or not being lovable aren't true. And my job is to tell myself the truth. That isn't the truth. To tell myself, absolutely I am lovable. Absolutely I am enough. Absolutely I am valuable. And gosh darn it, people like me. And if I were to share that with my friend whose house I was showing up at late, I'm afraid you're not going to like me anymore because I arrive late. They're going to tell me that's the most ridiculous thing they've ever heard in the entire world. That's how we heal that stuff. We shine the light on it. We tell our friends, we tell the people that we trust and love, and we tell ourselves the truth. That's why they're in our lives. But you know what this also means? If our relationships are for our growth, and are for our unfolding and our own self-discovery, it means they're also for the other person's self-discovery and for their growth and for their unfolding also. And so Ernest Holmes speaks to friends and loving friends in this passage of the Science of Mind textbook. He says, "I desire to be loved. Therefore, I allow myself to love greatly, to feel warmly inclined toward people, to be interested in them and helpful on their behalf. I give as I wish to receive. It is not enough that I profess to love people. I must really love people more dearly than I have ever loved before." That is one of the ways we love the people that we are in intimate relationships with, is by allowing them to stretch and grow. That means also, if our job is to support them and allow them to stretch and grow, it means they don't have to be perfect. It means they get to make mistakes. It means they get to grow at their own pace. It means that we honor their path. We honor their path of growth and their own unfolding. It means we encourage their dreams and we respect their journey. Sometimes that's hard to do. Is that hard to do in your relationships? I think one of the reasons that it's hard is because we think that person is responsible for our good. They're responsible for my well-being. They're responsible for my happiness. They're responsible for my joy or my love. They are not responsible for your love or happiness or well-being. You are responsible for your happiness and joy and well-being. They are not your source. Your connection with the infinite presence inside of you is your source of good and well-being and love. We get scared that if they screw up, if they fall down, we're not going to be safe. We get scared also that if they grow, if we support their dreams and their growth and their expansion, that they might outgrow us. And if they outgrow us, they might leave us. Or if they outgrow us, it's going to require that we grow as well. And so what happens then is we want to keep them small. And so we do things like nitpick and put them down or put their dreams down as a way of keeping them small, as a way of maintaining the status quo. But you know what? If you want to maintain the status quo, you are in the wrong church. We are here to flourish and to grow and to discover our greatest selves and create our greatest life. And we don't do that when we're stagnant. We do that when we're stretching and when we're willing. And so Carolyn Reynolds also says, for your relationship to thrive, whether it's a friend relationship or a mate relationship, for your relationship to thrive, you must both allow each other the space to grow and shine as individual beings on a path of evolution. When you start to celebrate your partner or friend's strengths and virtues, with your open-hearted generosity will instantly make you feel bigger and better. Admiring and encouraging the divine spark in each other will set you both free to blossom. As you do so, you will each discover new gifts and bring to your relationship that which will keep it alive and make you feel liberated and fulfilled. When we give that to each other, so we are here to unfold our magnificence, to unfold our beauty, to unfold our God-given glory. We are here to unfold our strength and our love. We are here to unfold our spiritual potential. to make that real and then to live out that spiritual potential. One of the ways that we do that is through relationships, if we are awake. And now, all of that being said, it doesn't mean you have to be in a primary relationship to grow and to flourish and to thrive and to stretch. Because one of the ways that we grow also is by being single and not being in a primary relationship. Because when we're single, we have tremendous opportunities to get to know ourselves, to get to know who we are and what is important to us, what is valuable, what we stand for, what is not negotiable. We get to learn how to rely on ourselves, on our own strength and our creativity and our decision-making powers and our abilities. When we are single, we don't get to feign weakness. I'm not capable of doing this thing. We don't get to do that. We learn instead how strong we are. We learn instead to be our own friend. We learn instead how to care for ourselves in all of our power. I remember numerous times when I was single and working at the hair salon and would be the last one there at 9 o'clock or 9:30 at night leaving, and my last client would always say, "Oh, do you want me to wait for you? I'll wait for you while you clean up so you don't have to leave by yourself." I have to go home by myself. I have to walk into my house by myself and then live in my house by myself. Fear is not an option. Fear was not an option. You get to stand in your own strength and power and not lean on someone to help you out. And how empowering that is amazing. I have grown so much in my relationships and in being single. In different ways, but both have served me tremendously. And so I would like to actually close with a story. And it goes like this. Marjorie Talcott was married and had one child during the Great Depression. The family managed to scrape their way through. But as Christmas approached one year, Marjorie and her husband were disappointed that they would not be able to buy any presents. A week before Christmas, they explained to their 6-year-old son, Pete, that there would be no store-bought presents this Christmas. "But I'll tell you what we can do," said Pete's father. "We can make pictures of the presents we'd like to give each other." That was a busy week. Marjorie and her husband set to work. Christmas Day arrived, and the family rose to find their skimpy little tree made magnificent by the picture presents that they had adorned it with. There was luxury beyond imagination to those pictures. A black limousine and a red speedboat for Dad, a diamond bracelet and fur coat for Mom, a camping tent and a swimming pool for Pete. Then Pete pulled out his present, a crayon drawing of a man, a woman, and a child with their arms around each other laughing. Under picture was just one word, us. Years later, Marjorie writes that it was the richest and most satisfying Christmas they ever had. It took a present-less Christmas to remind Marjorie and her family that the greatest gift we can offer is ourselves and our presence. And so my invitation to you is to remember that you are here on this earth to unfold your greatest self. That the desire that we have to be in relationship with people is absolutely by divine design, because it's the thing that stretches us and grows us. It is the thing that enables us to explore parts of ourselves that we would not otherwise discover. And it is fertile ground for healing of those old ideas that we carry around, those old self-concepts that aren't true, that keep us small and hinder us. My invitation is also to remember that our job in relationships is to support the other person's growth and expansion and flourishing, and to allow them to stretch and grow. And when we remember those things, all of our relationships will be on purpose. And so blessings to each one of you as you walk this path of self-discovery and of unfolding your greatest self and this life of love and sharing and caring and us. Blessings to all of you.
Do you want to pray with me?
So Christy's going to come up and we will do a spiritual mind treatment. So we'll let Christy start because she's good at that.
Because that's how we always do it.
So we just take this moment together in a collective deep breath, feeling that presence of our heart doors wide open. Because the truth is, they always have. What Reverend Jennifer has blessed us with today is that reminder that we are indeed God's greatest gift to itself, and that our journey here is to know that and to experience that. It is to truly learn to live loved, and relationships are the fertile ground for that lesson. So let us remember today that this is a spiritual community where not only seeds of growth are planted, but where we are supported in witnessing how we each blossom and bloom, and that we pick those blossoms and hold them dear to our hearts as reminders of fertile seeds to plant for the next chapter and the next evolution and the next page. So I know that I speak this word for both Denise and I, and how blessed we have been by all of you to fold us into your usness, to know for us as well that there is a next chapter and a next evolution, and we carry that with us, and we hold that very same for you today and always. Thank you, God, for the gift of us and each other, for this spiritual community where learning to live loved is who and what we are about. I know that that blessing lands in each one of our hearts, and I know with great expectancy that each one of us is on that path of unfoldment now. And so with that, I say yes, and I pass this prayer.
How grateful I am just to be in this energy of truth. To be in this energy of remembering, yes, indeed, we walk in this presence. And that this presence of infinite love and boundless good and ever unfolding life and infinite potential not just surrounds us and envelops us, but lives inside of us. That it is the very core and essence of our spirit, of our soul. And that, yes, indeed, we have come here to unfold this divine potential here in this life. And we unfold it as love and as support and kind and caring for ourselves and for others. We unfold it as we feel that we are safe in God, for therefore we can unfold ourselves in all of our glory. How grateful I am to remember, and yes, how grateful I am to be walking this path together, this path of family and of support and of love and encouragement. How grateful I am for all of it. And so, yes, I do recognize and know that we are all blessed, that we are all led and guided by that wisdom of the universe into our most fulfilling life. And everything that is unlike this thriving and fulfillment simply falls away into the nothingness from whence it came, for there is nothing to support it. For God is the good, and God is supporting and expressing as the good within us and through us and around us. How blessed we are. And so I release this prayer into that infinite creative womb of the universe, knowing that this prayer is taken a hold of and is unfolding all around us, even now, simply because it's the truth and because we claim it and say yes. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I let it be, and so it is.